Coming up this week on the Rock For Him podcast, we talk to Wade and April of the band Angel Machine.
Hi, I'm April Seraph.
I'm Wade Seraph.
We are Angel Machine, and if you're going to rock
for him.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Rock For Him podcast. If you don't know who I am, I'm Jeremy, aka the Big Boy, and with me is my co-host, my brother, my ministry partner. This is Jason Sanchez Bukowski. Bro, how's it going?
It is going so good. I am so excited for tonight's show.
I am too. Our guest tonight is a returning guest. It's been a couple years since we've had him on. This is Wade and April of Angel Machine. Guys, how's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Pretty well.
Good. Excited to have you guys back on. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
We are so thankful to have you guys on today. I haven't listened all the way through your new release yet, but what I've heard of it, oh, chef's kiss. It is so
it's amazing.
Good. So good.
Thank you.
And you guys are just coming off a killer performance at Kingdom Come Festival.
Thank you.
Where you guys got to do the main stage. What did that mean to you guys?
It meant a lot. It was kind of new territory. I mean, I've played on it before with other bands, but our band generally is stuck with the subculture stage. Mainly because, we enjoyed having the lights and the fog.
Right.
Without the sun, melting us little goths over here.
Right.
But, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, we got offered, and I was like, why not? We made it work, and I think just the feeling of being up there was enough. I didn't really have to have all the extras that we usually have. I mean, we like to make it a dramatic performance, but I think there was enough energy in the air that day. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It sounded amazing.
That's so good. Because it is a free show, and if it doesn't sound good...
Right.
But, it went well. A little breezy, but, it was good.
So I think the last time we had you guys on, you had made the announcement that you were going to have your first child. So are we continuing the trend here? I mean, is that
they just had another one? Not
too I know. I just wanted to see the sheer look of panic on both their faces. Wade's not even. He wasn't even going to crack a smile. He's like,
yeah. Well,
I can say with 100% certainty that we are not continuing that trend right now.
No, actually, I was going to say we are. We're competing with the Pentecostals because usually the Pentecostals have a bunch of children.
Or like the Mormons.
Or the Mormons. But we're Baptists, so we're going to have like 12 children. And they're all going to be male. All of them.
Yes.
Yes.
Listen, I go to a Baptist church and we have a couple of families that have like 8 kids in there. I'm like,
yeah,
seriously? Like,
I want the whole row.
Yeah. Like they walk in and they just take up a whole row. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah. Like somebody comes over, they're like, oh, I want to sit by you. And it's like, no, you can't. This whole row is taken, 12 children. So,
yeah. I mean, they not only run the worship team, but they run the soundboard, the video.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's like,
and they've got a few spare sitting out in the congregation. So, yeah.
Well, it's really hard to keep a band together. So our plan is just to have a bunch of children, and the band will eventually get bigger. Right now, it's still small. It's us, and Peter's on his way up, and he'll take the second keys. But we're working our way up towards the guitarist. So maybe in 10 years, we'll get there.
So you're basically going to be like End of I. You're just going to keep adding your children into the band.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I like it.
We'll have our own church, our own band. It's a plan. World domination.
Well, and having a lot of kids, if you're a preacher, also works great. Because right. If you offend everybody and everybody leaves, at least you're like your kids and your wife are just forced to stay and listen.
Ain't going anywhere. They can't leave.
I love that April's just playing into our shenanigans. She's like, all right, I'm just going with it.
This is every day with me. So, I mean, I live with him every day. So, I'm used to this.
A little bit of ADHD, a little bit of tripolar, craziness.
Love it.
She married me, so till death to us part.
Right?
So let's talk about, we just talked about KCF and you guys being on the main stage. One of these days I gotta get down there because I do want to see you guys live. Like, this drives me insane that every year something happens and I have not made it yet.
You got one more chance and then we're quitting.
No. No.
You gotta do it next year, Jason.
Audio feed. Come to Audio Feed. We're playing Audio Feed July 4th.
This weekend.
To celebrate America.
Just make it happen.
Just make it happen. Yes.
Where's that at? The other festival. Urbana, Ohio.
It's in...
Illinois. It's in, like, Urbana.
Yeah, Illinois.
Campaign.
It's in Alaska. Illinois.
It's in Alaska. If I show up in Alaska and
that's
you guys
that's where
are
I
want to
be. That's where I want to be, is Alaska. Like, but I'll get there. We'll get there.
You're going to make this show take, like, 3 hours with all your rabbit trails.
We're here for it.
Listen, people tune in for this. They don't tune in for the average like questions like, tell me on this part of the song how you broke down this verse.
Yeah.
They're here for the goofy.
I've learned that. They don't, it's not about the music. You can't just tell people like, hey, I do music, check this out. It's not enough.
No.
You've got to drive people insane. And that's something we used to do in the past. Like, I used to drive people crazy online. Like, I used to post all kinds of crazy stuff. I just say whatever I want, And like, it was insane, And we'd see like all these people would like argue with us. They're like, oh, you're disgusting. Oh, I can't stand you. Oh, blah, blah, blah. They'd be like offended and all that. But then we had all these people that were like, want to be our friends too. And it was like our album sales just shot through the roof. So it's like, I just think I need to go back to, the original marketing plan work. Like,
be as offensive as possible.
I didn't even do that on purpose though. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to do this and this is how we'll sell music. Like that, I was just being myself and I stopped doing that because I started getting in too much trouble. But
hey, I've noticed that April's gotten into it with a few people online. I've had to ban people from the Rock for Him chat because they've gone after you guys for stuff. And I'm like, nope.
We've really dialed that. I mean, we just, for one, I'm too busy. We do not have time. And when we were single, we had time, but also when we didn't have children, we had time and, sometimes we'd have really good discussions with people, but other times we'd meet like somebody who was like Orthodox and, they'd freak out or something. I don't know.
And again, this is why people tune in. They want to see the real Wade, the real April. They want to see you guys. Yes, they love your music, but if they get to know you, they'll love your music even more. So that's why we do this.
And let's turn everything into a joke. That's how you get through all the madness. It really is.
No, you do. Like I'm saying, you do. I'm affirming. That is exactly what you do.
You have to. It's too crazy of a world. It's just too crazy. I mean, when I don't turn everything into a joke, I'm stressed out. It's too much stress. It's like, I'm just gonna turn everything into a joke.
A lot of people who don't know him think that he's stoned like all the time.
Oh, I love it. So, okay, let's get a little serious. Let's talk about
this. Let's try. All right.
Let's talk about the new record. Let's talk about it. Tell us a little bit about, let me bring it up here, because I tried saying it like 14 times today, and I keep saying it wrong. House of Mourning. Yes. Yes, let's talk about that. Like,
I'm so unserious.
Yes.
As I said, I have not gotten
It's called House of Mourning.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the name just kind of came about. I was about to say something that's going to get us alive. It's based out of Ecclesiastes 7. House better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. So, our first record was really, it was much more industrial than it was like dark wave and gothic. I mean, people may look at it that way, but I don't look at it as a very dark wave kind of an album. The first one, we were on 80 Windblown, and we had with the help we got from audio engineering from David Patacone and Asher Lesser, and there was much more of a they really love like fixed records, so they love Cell Dweller and Circle Dust and a lot of those influences. So that kind of had an impact on our sound, which it came out pretty cool. It wasn't what I expected when I was on 80 Windblown. It wasn't the sound I thought the records were going to get. But if you know those bands and that label and that kind of sound, you can hear it. And I got really into The Annex. I don't know if you know that band, but they're one of the guy who has that project is on Fix Records, and that really influenced some of our singles like By Faith and Watch. And yeah, it just ended up more industrial, and there were times where I wanted to make something moody, but then it was like, oh man, I gotta make something like more aggressive. I just gotta like make something that sounds like my walls have holes in them. So I made Like a Disease and Repent and some of those heavy ones, and that's how I was like, man, Angel Machine, I really wanted it to be like this dark wave, kind of romantic, ominous, depressing kind of sound, with like a glimmer of hope in it, obviously, like from a biblical standpoint. And so I really pushed for House of Mourning to have that. And House of Mourning is much more the sound I've always been looking for with Angel Machine. So it went totally dark wave, kind of took all the industrial out of it, and it's not as aggressive. I think there's like one song I could say is more of a banger, which was Goodbye. I don't know if you've heard Goodbye yet, but that one needed to be like the banger on the album. But I just really wanted to be as minimal as possible, dark wave, tease, and April's voice, we approached it a lot different than the first album. So, the first album was quite an experiment, too. We were trying to find our sound. So I think there was quite a variety on the first record. But this one, I didn't really want a variety in the sound, In fact, I didn't want a variety so much that it kind of started to sound a little bit bleak. And I was like, okay, all right, we need some songs that are just a little more exciting. Like, so,
I remember a conversation you and I had, right after you had sent us, I think it was Sea of Glass. I was telling you, like, bro, you are leaning heavy into your typo negative voice. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, just wait until you see what's coming. Like, and I told you, I'm a typo negative fan. Fanboy, seen him so many times.
Yeah.
So, House of Mourning, ugh, this is your guys' best release. Like, and I know you're a typo negative fan too, so Peter's looking down on you, smiling right now. He's like,
"Let me show you and everybody something." Speaking of typing notes. Okay. Hold on. How do you flip it? Is there a way to flip it? Oh, is that? There it is. Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
Typo negative.
Yes. Oh, you have carnivore in there?
Yeah.
All of them.
I have just about all. The only, there's some, well, there's like a new version of Bloody Kisses. It's like a double disc. But I've got a couple versions of Bloody Kisses there, and a couple versions of each album, really. Yep. I've got two versions of Life is Killing Me, you know. Typo has been a very big musical influence for me.
Bit of a humor influence also.
And a humorous one. And even Carnivore, you know, Carnivore actually is probably my biggest influence for Wave 31. Because I just wanted to make something that was like really aggressive and just in your face. And that's when I hear Carnivore, it's, man, there's just no hold barred on them songs. So
I'll be right back.
April will be back. Kiddos. But yeah, I really never, I didn't feel like the first record I was able to really lean into my Typo influences enough. I didn't think of it. Honestly, with Angel Machine, I lean much more into my Sisters of Mercy influence.
I can hear that.
You know, that easily spills into Angel Machine. Typo, it was kind of like, okay, if I was going to have Typo influences on this record, I knew the drums had to be reworked a little. So I kind of did a little bit of drums in there that worked in that direction. And then I just stuck with baritone because, you know, I don't think I sound good when I sing high. I wish I had before. But I tried, you know, the first record, I tried some things, and I just kind of stick to the lows. So.
So was that your thought process going into it, as you wanted this somewhat darker feel to it?
Well, we wanted to also, you know, branch out more into the gothic dark wave scene around here and Chicago and the region. So, you know, I felt like people would connect with it better, and we could play more local shows. But I think for me, it was a bucket list thing in a way, because I. Well, I grew up in Colorado, and I used to go to what was known as the Colorado Dark Arts Festival, and they had like all these like goth industrial bands that would play every year, and they'd have like jewelry on sale. It was a big event in Denver, and you know, and then they'd have like this compilation CD, and it really like just promoted like a great scene, and like you got to hear all these bands, and the bands that were on the compilation I got were a big influence for me. And a lot of people don't know these bands because they're from like the early 2000s and stuff, but I knew some of these musicians, and I really wanted this album to tap more into that sound that I kind of came from. So, you know, there was a lot of influence in the album for sure.
What you got, Jeremy? I've been doing all the talking.
So not only did you guys put out that album, but you're also, you know, talking about compilation albums. You did the Midwestern Gothic.
Yes. This one.
Yeah. What's up now? Is that all Christian groups, or is that all?
No, it's not. This is more, it's just regional groups. It's not involved with KCF or anything. And
well, I didn't think it was involved with others involved with KCF. I just didn't know if they were like all Christians or if it was like a mix of both. Or
there is a group. There is a guy on here. He has a project called Access to God. I believe he is. I haven't got to really meet him in person. We really want to meet, and we just never can seem to make it happen. But he lives in Ohio, and he does like a industrial punk kind of project, and we've wanted to do like Wade 31 and Access to God together, but I'm friends with him online. He's a really cool guy, and I believe he's a believer. And you know, the rest of the bands are anywhere from like Chicago to Ohio to Pennsylvania. And a good friend on here from a band called Twice Dark. Yeah, you know, the thing is, like, it's really hard to kind of, well, like the Christian music world just doesn't have a lot of goth industrial. It really it doesn't have a large audience for it. It's really niche. It's really small. And, you know, you gotta branch out a little bit if you want more people to hear your music. So, I've worked with a few bands in the scene around, you know, yeah, the Midwest Gothic thing, I put that together and booked all the bands and played here in Indianapolis, and it was a blast. It's really well played at the Indy 808, and then we had the compilation, and, you know, it just helps branch the art, well, not branch the artists, it just helps, like, promote all the artists. You get to hear them all together on this compilation, and that was a bucket list thing for me too, because, you know, like I was talking about Colorado Dark Arts Festival in the past, I always wanted to put something together like that and put all these bands together. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, speaking of Wade 31, have you got anything coming up for that project, any music coming out? Or
I think I'm just gonna finish, I've been wanting to finish the second EP, and now I can focus on that, because I was going to do them both simultaneously and release them both simultaneously, but I just couldn't. It's just too much work. House of Mourning was a lot of work, and I think after Audio Feed, I'm going to finish getting the last song wrapped up, and then, you know, we had our singles, Dominator and Israel God, they'll be on there. I think we're going to rework them a little, though, I think. I've been working with Chris Johnson from Hard Look.
Yeah.
Ah, nice. He's going to kill me for that. He's going to be like, it is hard work. It is, though. But, you know, Hard Look. Yeah, we're probably going to wrap that EP up and play with Israel of God and Dominator. Because, you know, they were definitely political for their time a couple of years ago. And the world has shifted drastically since. So we may, you know, play with those a little bit. So,
okay.
Hopefully, so that'll be out. I would hope this fall. It's something I really just want to get done and move on from. So, I don't know that I'm going to book shows for it, though.
No,
I don't think so. It's not looking like it.
I love how wildly different Wade 31 and Angel Machine are. Like, you just, the contrast of the music
is
phenomenal.
Well,
it honestly, it makes me laugh, because I'll be listening to you guys and then it'll switch over to Wade 31 and my daughter's like, what are you listening to? You were just, I'm like, oh, it's the same guy. What? Yeah,
Wade 31 is how he scratches his industrial itch. So, like, on the first on the first record, it was Repent and Like a Disease.
Industrial itch.
Like, that was how he scratched his industrial itch on the first Angel Machine record of No Reputation. But after that, he's like, I don't really want Angel Machine to sound like that anymore. So he revived Wade 31 from when he had done it back in California when he lived out there.
Brought it back from the dumpster.
Yeah.
Nice.
Pulled it out of the dumpster and put it,
pulled it out
on a slightly nicer trash can.
The dumpster fire. Now it's a dumpster
put it,
fire.
No, you put it on a slightly nicer trash can that you feed on the cameras. So.
Yes. And I'm really trying to get the Wade 31, the new EP, to just sound crazier than the first. Like, just much more sporadic in the sound.
Accomplishing it, for sure.
I think I am.
For sure.
I don't think I'll ever feel like I am, but maybe I am. If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, but can it get crazier?
Oh yeah.
Oh, great.
Oh, just wait. Well, the thing is, I guess the thing for me, I think what I'm going to try to do as I wrap this up is I'm just going to try to make the songs a little bit more offbeat, because, real industrial music is chaotic. It's chaos. It's freaking chaotic, and
it originated with literally just noise.
It's mostly noise. And it's a little hard for me to pull off that sound. So I usually make it and I make the beats, and then I try to throw the chaos on top of it. And I don't know. I might just have to kind of start with the chaos and then throw a beat on top of it. But it'll come out. It has no, I really have no set approach to it. It just happens, and the sound I get is what I get. And it's usually the audio engineer I work with that kind of helps bring some form to it, And
Chris Johnson.
Chris, yeah. He's really... He didn't work with me on the first one, I think with this next one, he'll be able to bring something to it that I can't.
He's got a real ear for industrial. Yeah.
And he really helped bring out some of the best parts in House of Mourning. Mm. We didn't release, I don't know if we're going to release Belief Divides as a single. I wanted to leave a few on there just to be, not every single one of them has to be a single. We released three, but Belief Divides is on the record. And man, he added this part that at first I wasn't that into it, but it's about after the first chorus, and it's the part leading up to the second verse. He threw in this drum thing, and I just love it now. Like every time I put that on and every time I play it on stage,
it's really fun.
It's really fun. Cause sometimes my stuff can get a little monotone, and somebody, like Ashford Lesser and David Pacconi and first record, they threw in some things. They're like, hey, why don't you try this right here? What do you think? And I'd be like, I hate it. But then and it's the same with Chris Johnson when he threw this part in. I was like, I don't know about that. I don't like it. And then I just had to sit on it and just listen to it. And then sometimes I end up loving those parts. That happens. So, Chris threw in some extra elements into the album that I wouldn't have thought of. And that's the fun part about working with an audio engineer. It's them getting to throw in the producer, when they put on the producer cap and add a little extra to your album. So
especially when you're friends with him.
Yeah.
And when he's not afraid to offend you.
Yeah. Chris has been a great help. We were working with we were actually going to work with KL from Bridge Shadows. He was going to produce an audio engineer House of Mourning. That was the original plan. He just wasn't able to do it. And he's just got a lot going on. He's got his own project, and I love the guy, and we hope we can work together someday, but it just wasn't the right time, so right. It's okay, it happens. And I did not expect to work with Chris Johnson on House of Mourning. I didn't think that was how I thought it was like he's gonna be I'm gonna do Wade 31 with him, that's it. And then I wanted somebody else for House of Mourning, but then it was just kind of like, okay, well, and it's turned out well.
So, April, what was your mindset going into House of Mourning? Like, what did you have to change when it comes to what you do to get the sound the way you wanted it?
Complete honesty? I had no thoughts.
You just followed the feral raccoon over there and just let him work?
So my contribution, my primary contribution to the music getting done is I take care of everything else. So I take care of the kids and the house and all that so that he doesn't have to worry about all that and he can work on the music. I don't have the brain space for it.
I don't
either. Like, we figure out a time for me to record. No, I mean, I might be selling myself short a little bit. Okay. I help some, he'll bounce some ideas off of me. I helped write some of the lyrics for Sea of Glass.
Yes, that is right. She helped in a big way.
The lyrics on Sea of Glass.
Yes. She's being modest. I bounce all my ideas off her, you know, because I'll start working on something in that chaotic process I told you about. And then I'll be like, hey, I got this part. Check this out. It's like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, what do you think? And she's like, why don't you try this? I'm like, okay, you know, and then I try it. And like, you know, that's how that goes. I'll be working on something in the studio for hours and then show it to her. And she helped a lot with Sea of Glass. And I think she had to really be open about how we were going to do. We were going to do the vocals differently, you know, because when you listen to Watch, that single, and you listen to her on this album, there's a drastic difference. So
as far as vocals go, I have a pretty decent range just naturally. I've never had any kind of vocal training or anything, but I've loved singing since I was little. So I've spent most of my life singing just recreationally. So pretty much I just show up to record and he tells me how he wants it to sound. And I have a particular talent for singing on key. So he tells me how he wants it to sound. I you know, do a take and he tells me if he wants me to change it. So if he does, I change it and we go from there. My other contribution to the album really is that he has a tendency to write music and then completely forget what he wrote. So I have a particular talent where I can get on a keyboard and play by ear a little bit. So I can hear a melody and figure out what it is on the keyboard. My baby's waking up again.
I suck at playing. Like, I don't play really well, but I can write and really flesh it out.
Let me say this real quick. So Sea of Glass, he lost the working file for that originally.
I did?
Yeah, you did. I don't know if you remember this, but you lost the working file for it. You had like an old version or something, and you were like, I don't have any of the keys or anything for it. And you was like, just play it. Like, play what you have. So he put it on the speakers, and I listened to it, and I was able to figure out the melody so that he could go back in and recreate it in the program. So those are my contributions. I got to go take care of the baby real quick. I will be right back again.
Report.
Yeah, we had to. When we did Watch and By Faith, those singles, I wrote like three or four of them in a row, just separate song pieces. So I wrote By Faith, chunk of Watch, and a chunk of Sea of Glass, and a chunk of like another one. And I think it was Under Winter Stars, maybe. But honestly, Sea of Glass, By Faith, and Watch, they were all going to be part of the second record. But that was back in like 2021, 22. And then Of No Reputation came out, and I felt like By Faith and Watch weren't really going to land well on Of No Reputation. So they were going to be set for the next album. But then by the time we got to really working on the second album in early 2024, what I wanted for another album had drastically changed, and I didn't want it to sound like By Faith and Watch. So now those two singles are kind of just floating out there digitally, and I don't really know what to do with them. I want to put them on a CD, but I just don't know. They weren't going to really land well on House of Mourning, but at Sea of Glass, we reworked it and made it sound a little more darker and more gothic. So, and her vocals, you know, what she contributed was much more of we went for more of an ethereal, ghostly kind of sound with her. So whereas like her vocals were much more upfront, and we wanted to kind of back off of that a little bit. I didn't want everything to be so upfront in the vocals as the first release was. I kind of like the vocals to be, you know, you want to hear them, but I want all the other things to be heard. So her vocals are much more atmospheric in the mix. And
I was saying, the way you guys have her mixed in there, it blends very well with the music, yeah, with your vocals. Like it's honestly quite amazing. That's why I wanted to ask her what her, you know, her process was going into it, because just the way you guys mixed her into that was fantastic.
Well, I mean, her shining moment for sure on the record is Black Haired Valentine, because she takes the lead, and we wanted to do that live, you know, and that was also part of the vision of Angel Machine, was something where we could switch and she would take, you know, the lead vocals and I would go over to play the keys, and, you know, we'd switch off on some songs, and it just took a while to work. It is hard to do it with having children, you know. I have much more time to work on it than she does, because, you know, she, what do they call it? What's the right word? You know, just with children, I guess I just say it, breastfeeding. I was trying to think of another word for it. Nursing, right? Nursing. This is how much of a guy I am. I don't even know.
I'm sure she's ready to slap you right now. Like, oh, come on.
Well, she's gone. So, I mean, but like, if she told me, "Hey, get the boppy," I'm like, "What the hell's that?" Like, get the, I don't know, what is name off something. Like, no, I don't even know what I don't know.
Okay, did you notice her face when she walked in? She was like, oh, what are we talking about?
Right.
As soon as I walked in and heard him say, what the hell's a boppy? I was like...
That's the pillow. That's the donut-shaped pillow.
The donut-shaped nursing pillow.
So why do they just call it a donut pillow?
Like, because the brand name is boppy.
So that's even worse. Okay, that's the brand name.
But it's like, so much, like, just snappier to be like, give me the boppy, rather than being like, give me the donut shaped nursing pillow.
It's all wrong. Okay, like, you get a Van Heusen shirt, okay, a dress shirt, you say hand me the blue dress shirt, you don't say hand me the blue Van Heusen.
But most people don't know dress shirt brands.
Well, most people, guys, don't know boppies.
Fathers do. Most dads do.
Well, I'm not most dads.
You know it now. You know
I know
it.
Now. I mean, that's
you'll forget by the time we have another child. But.
Well, we're on 20 more.
Jeremy, this is why we have them on.
Right? It's but yeah.
Arguing about boppies. I love it.
Yep.
Get the boppy!
Get the little boppy!
Oh, so you guys got audio feed coming up here pretty quick.
What's coming up?
Audio feed, right?
Yeah, this weekend.
Oh, yes. That.
Yeah. Audio feed this weekend.
I was saying, you just said it was the 4th, don't...
Dad brain.
It is happening, yes.
He was already focused on boppies and, and all
you
that.
You see, this is why she... Like she said, I know people are going to think I'm sexist or something. She takes care of the house and I work and everything. I mean, that is the way.
No, we're just traditional.
It, you know, it's like if I start thinking about all this stuff, you see how it just gets messed up. If she's like, hey, will you cook something? I'll burn the kitchen down. I will screw it all up. I spill stuff everywhere. I'm sloppy. It's like, hey, put some broccoli in this pan. You know, and I do it and the broccoli goes all over the floor. And then the kids are eating it, frozen vegetables. And you know, it's just better if I just don't, you know. It's like I just work and I work on the music and I bring the comedy into all this, you know, because my wife is not, comedy is like not her thing. I mean, it's like we'll be sitting there watching a movie, okay, and I'm over here loud, like, you know, and I hit her, and then like her face just looks like boiled meat, you know. There's just no expression. She's just like, I'm like, do you have a sense of humor in there? Because it's freaking hilarious.
I am you know what? I'm a lot brighter than I was when we first got married.
Okay.
When we first met, I was way bleaker than I am.
Right, but the light, so the light's at the end of the tunnel now. Because there wasn't...
I could put it that way. No. I mean, the light might be an oncoming train.
First there was a wall, then there was a tunnel, now there's a little bit of light at the end. That's the light
she's on. The light you're seeing might be an oncoming train.
I mean, she's so serious, you know? She'll just say something like bleak humor, bleak truth, and it's usually true. That's what hurts the most. You know, the funny thing is, when we were on 80 Windblown, you know, it was like all of us are into industrial, dark wave, goth, all this stuff. We all have this background in music. I mean, when we got KL on the label, it was like, wow, we have this like industrial rock Christian artist, like with all this history from Wedding Party. We have Asher Lester from, you know, On Scent. We have these guys from this background. And then my wife comes on the label, and you know, she was gother than all of us. I mean, we have a meet. She has no background in music.
I didn't even know what goth really was, right, to be honest, until I met him. So.
Well, but she's like goth in her personality. You know, she'll just say something, and it's like, man, that ball just dropped. That megaphone. Yeah, Wednesday Adams. Like, the megaphone or the microphone just dropped and hit the floor, and there was silent. Like, that's how she is. I mean, and I married her. What does that say about me? I mean, I love her, though. I love it.
It's you cool. Are the proud winner.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, in that, I became the extrovert. I was not this... I don't know if I was as extroverted until I met her. Like, I have to be, because if I'm not, it's just... It's too bleak, you know? It's way too bleak. It's like somebody has to be the humor in this band, this thing, this journey. Everything.
I make that more effective.
Right, Cook.
Listen, I think she's pretty funny because I'm sitting here watching her facial expressions as you're talking. I'm like, she's hilarious.
the mute button on my face doesn't always work.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm totally silent, but my face is speaking thousands of words.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, we have a famous saying in our house, mostly to my wife, fix your face.
Yeah.
Fix yep. your face.
Yep. Yep.
My wife says that to me sometimes.
I say it a lot to my daughter. Fix your face. What?
That's why I just cover mine. If I didn't have all this on, oh my god.
Sometimes I have to apologize ahead of time for the things that my face might say when my mouth isn't.
Right. Yeah.
Oh. So I had a point I was getting to, and I don't even remember what it is now.
This is what I do.
I'm so sorry.
It's like, what's the point?
There is no point.
I'm so sorry for my husband.
That's the message of this scene. There's no point. Why are we here? I don't know. No, you know?
I was talking about Audiofeed.
Audiofeed.
Yes, and you guys are playing. Do you guys have any plans of playing past that? What do you guys got coming up? Anything?
No.
No?
No.
No, you're just gonna...
All right, I'll be the bleak one now. No. I don't know. You know, we did Midwest Gothic. We did World Goth Day Online. We did KCF. We've done this. I mean, you know, I could see... there could be a show. I think we'll probably just I think I want to get the Wave 31 EP done, so I don't really want to book anything. I got some things in my life I need to focus on, so you know, shows, I'm not sure. I don't really have an answer to that right now, so that's why I say, like, if you want to see us, man, or come to Audiofeed, because we don't have any plans after that.
So for those watching, you heard it. Go to Audiofeed. Go check these guys out. Like,
yeah. Audiofeed is going to be legit. Like, that's another one of the festivals I want to get to.
It's a lot of fun. I enjoy Audiofeed. I enjoy it. It's different than KCF, the vibe, and it's mostly people from Illinois. It's mostly more. How do I say this night? The right way, I guess. I kind of find it, you know, Illinois is a more liberal state. There's more hippies. There's more kind of a laissez-faire vibe, a little more of a beatnik vibe, a little more of a, what's the right word? Like, kind of a down-to-earth vibe with people, you know. You can smell like the patchouli stuff, That's, you know, I came from Colorado. Like, I'm used to that. And it was funny because, like, actually in high school, college, and all, I was always around, like, hippies, you know. But I was, like, the black-haired hippie, like, in the middle, you know. So I was around. And when I go over there, it kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Like, and I don't mind it too much, you know. So I don't even mind really necessarily being around someone who is really liberal, as long as, like, they're not super radical, like, trying to tell me not to eat meat. That, then we're not going to get along. But, you know, I don't mind the idealistic types and the down-to-earth people and the people that want to connect with nature and eat healthy. Hey, I'm all about that, man. That's awesome, you know.
So I want to go back to House of Mourning real quick, because okay. I do look at the time and it is almost 9:30, so we've been going for almost an hour. Okay. So what is your favorite song off from House of Mourning?
Ooh. Like, favorite on House of Mourning. That's a tough one. Because I really... It's almost like all the songs are one song.
Yeah.
In a way. You know, but... that's hard to say. I think Sea of Glass may have to be my favorite, because, you know, how me and April worked together on it. I thought her, the way the vocals came out on her end, just really added a, like, heavenly atmosphere to it.
Yep.
With my low vocals. And the song, I wanted a song that, you know, because we did a radio edit because it was long, and I wanted a longer song. I didn't want this, like, cookie cutter format, you know. I really was pushing that much more on this album. And I mean, not like it's always been that way, but there's so many songs where they're just like verse, chorus, you just kind of expect this, like, same thing. And I was like, well, I tried to add more instrumental parts or just lyrical parts that were going to be different. So Sea of Glass, I felt like we accomplished that a lot. Because we did a lot more with the keys on it than the other songs. So Sea of Glass, I was really trying to go for, like, the new, you know, that song, Blue Monday, New Order?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I was almost going for a vibe like that. I wanted a song, like, long like that, that would kind of take you on a journey. And, I mean, it's nothing like Blue Monday, but I had to slice it up for radio edit. So I think that one came out really well. I really like how Goodbye came out, and that was, like, that one and Black Haired Valentine were some of the last ones done. But I was able to shoot Goodbye out pretty quickly, and I had a lot of Stabbing Westward influence on that one.
And yep, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I wanted some parts that kind of had that, like, that Westward vibe. I'm a big fan of them. Black-haired Valentine is a lot of fun. I wanted her vocals to kind of go in the direction of, like, some of the older goth bands like Corpus Delicti and, you know, maybe a little Susie and the Banshees kind of a sound. So
you sound she like tried, Fields of the Nephilim on that song.
Sound like I have bronchitis, like, I think.
What is that song called? In the year 45, is that
it? In the year
2525.
It's, well, I really like Fields of the Nephilim, and it has some influence from them vocally. So yeah, you know, you just put all these, it's just like, it's like a giant pot of, like, stew with 40 colors.
What is know? The song and called though?
It all gets meshed together. That's what you get, you know. It's, and it came out purple, pretty much. That's the album. That's how I'm gonna describe the album. It's a stew that came out purple with 40 ingredients.
25 or 27. Have you ever heard, are you familiar with Fields of the Nephilim at all?
Somewhat, yes.
Have you ever heard the song In the Year 2525?
I want to say yes. Like, it sounds familiar.
It's a cover.
Listen to that, and then listen to Black Haired Valentine, and his vocals, his backing vocals on the chorus of that song sound exactly the same. So.
I will have to
check it out. There's, like, this super gruff, like, Fields of the Nephilim, this super gruff, like, 25, 25. And in the chorus, he's all, like, black hair, black hair. It sounds the same.
Really, yeah. I didn't do that on the song. I did, like,
I wish you had. Yeah,
black hair, black hair.
So what's your favorite song off from House of Mourning April?
Oh,
you see, he asked me that while you're not. I said Sea of Glass.
The prelude. No, I'm kidding.
The outro.
The outro.
The last
outro.
The end. I like the end.
When it's over.
That's what Kale would say. He'd be like, I like the outro.
I like when it's over.
I like when it's over.
I don't know.
Most people say the outro to our show is their favorite too. They're like, yes, they're done.
I'd really like to perform the outro on the album as an intro at a live show.
Yes.
Would be like a 3-4 minute intro. That's the only thing. It'd be almost like how Metallica, if they were to start with Call of Cthulhu, you know, it'd be like a long intro and then bam, they break into, like, you know, Master of Puppets. Like, that's how it would have to go with us. We'd play like that outro first. And then,
I don't know if there's one that I would say is my absolute favorite, but I will say that Goodbye gets stuck in my head the most often.
Goodbye is a great song.
Goodbye and Black Haired Valentine are the two that get stuck in my head the most.
Speaking of Goodbye, someone still has to send that to us so I can get it on the radio. I don't know who has to send it to me, but I keep getting, I keep forgetting.
Yeah. I'll get on Peter right away.
Yeah, it's his fault. I'm really bad at that now. If I don't get it to you, might just want to pick it up because I suck at emails now. Like, I used to do all that radio stuff, and I just got too many other things going on. I've had a hard time getting it out to radio, I admit. So, but yeah.
See, you can say goodbye to that.
See, she's got the jokes. She's got jokes.
See how bleak it was? And, like, you have to laugh because it's so bleak. If you don't laugh, it's just like the silence is like death.
Okay.
That's what happens.
I was raised in a household filled with very dry, sarcastic humor. So most of the time, my jokes are very sarcastic and and it's kind of those jokes that, like, you're not 100% sure that it's a joke.
Those are the best ones.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
Wade's face says otherwise.
Yeah.
Someone has to come along and just, like, I don't know. You gotta, like.
I feel like Wade is more of the slapstick humor kind of guy. And I'm like the...
You know, humor today, movies, I talked to her about this.
Oh,
like, new movies, I mean, they suck. Like, the humor is, like, gone. I don't know what has happened with... Am I the only one that sees that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, doesn't it feel like the humor in the last 10 years in movies? Idea. Like, they'll something funny will happen, and it's funny. But then they drag it out, and it's so painfully awkward, it's not even funny anymore.
Yep.
Like, I see that in films. Whereas, like, in the 90s and early 2000s, I would say up until, like, the super bad 40-year-old virgin knocked up era of comedy, I feel like after that, comedy is just tanked. Because, I mean, even in those films, some of the humor drags out, but it is still fun. I mean, those movies are hilarious. But before that, it was like, movies like Dead Man on Campus, American Pie, you know, I don't know, like Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion. I'm just, like, looking at my pile over there. movies. you know, it was like the humor would come and it was funny and it delivered and they'd move on to the next thing and it left you laughing into the next seat. And and it's not like that anymore. So like that's how I feel in some ways with like her and our Uncle KL. You know, they say something and it's funny, but it's so deadpan that like I have to do something. Like the silence is just, it kills me.
You got to bring the feral raccoon into the thing.
Is that what I am now? Should I put that on the back of the top hat, like a raccoon, like tail or something?
Yes,
do that.
Yes,
dude. Someone would say it's goth. You know it, dude. Someone would be like, "Dude, that's so goth, man." I'm done with goth. I'll be
you
honest.
You could get a genuine raccoon tail from
the people
from
do
brother,
they wear
not
that.
From Brother Jared. Get a real.
All right, let's not bring Brother Jared. But you can buy like those tailed stuff, like, right? Don't they sell those?
Yes.
I'm sure they do.
Normally associated with more like kind of redneck sort of.
It is?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know about the podunk goths, man. I mean, it's a thing. Like you meet like the ones that they're like the country goths. I'm like, it just doesn't make sense. I hate goth now. Like honestly, I can
he's,
go on.
He's
about
come
that.
Full circle and turn into circle. Andrew Eldritch.
I'm really just I sympathize with Andrew Eldritch from Sisters of Mercy. Like he hit a point. I don't know if he ever wanted his band to be called goth or dark wave. I, on the other hand, I mean, I've gone with that label, but I also hate it. You know, and we really are our own thing. You know.
Yeah.
Our music lands in those categories for people that like that music, but like, I mean, the goth world is just like there's a lot of politics in that world. It's a bit messy, and I'm on my own bird, man. Like, you know, I'll get people that want to like put me under the microscope. They're like, "Well, did you vote for Trump? We got to know that before you walk into this place." You know. You can't be around. You can't be in our space. And I'm like, I didn't vote for Trump. I know I look conservative, but it doesn't. Like, I did not vote for Trump. I'm not a Republican now. Like, I'm not. You know, but I'm not a communist either. Like, and I think I'm turning into a hippie. Like, I'm going back to my Colorado roots. You know, like, going back to the mountain way. But I'm on my own bird. You know, like. I just don't share my beliefs with a lot of other artists. I did. Well,
do I need to go get it?
No. Don't show that. No, probably not.
Speaking of don't show that, hey, how can we be praying for you?
but yeah, I don't know if our next record will be dark wave at all. If there's another record, I think I'm just going to make something that sounds like the Beatles or Neil Young or
Four Seasons.
Iron Butterfly. No, never. Why did you have to say?
Your audio.
Oh, there we go.
Do not I hate them, oh Lord. I can't stand the Four Seasons. Oh.
That's his dad's favorite band.
No, it's tough. No one has to know that.
And every
Frankie
time
Valli and the Four Seasons.
This is
and
public.
Anytime we, you gotta send it to your dad.
We just lost.
Anytime we go visit his dad, he makes a point to have the Four Seasons playing when we walk into the house, and Wade just immediately like looks like he wants to be knocked out.
My
so
secret.
He doesn't have to hear it anymore.
I just tell him I hate the Beach Boys. And then he'll play the Beach Boys. And I can listen to the Beach Boys. I used to not like the Beach Boys, but I actually don't mind the Beach Boys. You know?
Listen, but I don't as you will learn this as a dad. You find the thing that annoys your child the most, and you do that.
My dad used to wake me up to this music.
What his dad does. It's
I'd be like sleeping, you know, it'd be the weekend, and he would wake me up to something I hate. So he put on like the Four Seasons and he'd just come down and open my door. It was better before when he'd open the door and just be like, "Get up, get dressed." And I'd say something, be like, "Shut up." You know, I'd be like, get up, get dressed. And I'd be like, why are you waking me up? Shut up.
His dad's a riot.
And he stopped doing that and just started like playing the Fourth Season. He'd just come down and open the door and walk off.
Child April, abuse. Here is your mission. Download every Four Seasons song.
No, that's, fine, that's it. Cut the interview.
That is his new wake-up alarm. All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time for the interview. But before we get out of here, is there anything you want to share with the Rock for Him viewers and listeners before we go into prayer? Anything you want them to know that we haven't gotten into yet?
Did we even, like, talk about our music for half of this
time?
Yeah, well,
yeah, you guys did.
When you left, we talked all about the music and how wonderful Wade is and is.
And you. We talked all about you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant to say. We talked all about you. I'm trying to help you out, bro.
Like, yeah.
All about you, he was saying. You're fantastic. Your voice was heavenly, angelic.
I did say that.
You did.
You did too. Yeah.
Go you back guys and watch it. You can see this that audience. Yeah. Hey, if you're tuning in live, you saw that part.
Yeah. All right. Let's just get into prayer. How can we be praying for you guys besides April having to deal with
We're going to need some prayer. Get on your knees. I don't know. Money? I need money.
Finances. I'm with you.
Starving artist types, man. I can't even mow my lawn right now.
A lawnmower broke.
And I don't have money to fix it.
Oh, jeez.
So the weeds are, like, super tall. So now it's, like, really gothic. Like, the vines are growing up the trees and on the house and stuff. So pretty soon, this is going to be the house of mourning. Like,
some finances. Gotcha.
Yeah. Buy the album. Buy a shirt. Help us out.
Please buy our product.
Please buy our product. Yes. Please buy. Yeah. As Peter Steele would say. He's do that in his name. He'd be like, please buy our product.
Is that where you got that from?
Yes.
He used to say that every show. I seen him probably 13 or 14 times in every show.
Oh,
at some point, so be like, fun. Go buy our stuff. Even if you don't like us, go buy our stuff because I'm poor.
Like, especially if you hate us.
Yes.
Well,
you can buy it and then like burn it if you want. That's fine.
Just... No.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you hate us, like just buy our product.
Yeah, you know they weren't free to print. Yeah. Well, you know, I would love people to check the album out. So it was worked a lot on it, and we just want to share it with as many people as possible out there, and yeah, we have one more show coming up at Audio Feed in Illinois, so come check us out there, and you know, just follow us online for new videos and stuff, I guess. So other than that,
and we'll have links to all that in the show notes and stuff. And
yep,
cool.
Yes, for sure. Cool. All right, Jeremy, do you want to go ahead and pray us out of here?
Sure, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time that we've had with Wade and April. And Lord, I just pray that everything we've said and done gives you glory, Lord. I thank you for their friendship. I thank you for their music and their ministry. And Lord, more importantly, Lord, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray that you help them with their finances, and Lord, you bring the right people to you, hear about their music, and Lord, that they continue to follow you and what you're doing with their lives and their ministry, and same with Rock for Him, Lord, and just continue to keep us all safe, and continue to lead us in what you have for us, and we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wade, April, thank you for joining us tonight. You guys are welcome back anytime. Jeremy, brother, it's good to see your face on here. Kira, you were missed. But those watching and listening, remember, if you're going to rock, rock for Him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below, and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Stay tuned, because coming up next week, we talk to Jackson Scott of the band Unbroken Reign.